Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to All Exits Closed. I'm Cynthia Pooler. My guest today is Green Party presidential candidate Howie Hawkins. And we're going to touch a little bit about the breaking news from yesterday about President Trump and COVID. But we're also going to talk about party suppression. So I was watching TV, Howie, last night, and news broke about, I'd say, 9 o'clock, that person said that the aide to Trump had it, and then this morning when I woke up, they said that Trump and the First Lady tested positive. So what do you think this is going to do for the election?
I'm not sure what it's going to do for the election. But I'll tell you this, I'm not surprised he got it. He's been going around like Typhoid Mary, having people meet in rallies without masks. So it's not a surprise, really. Now, what it does for the election, it probably hurts Trump, you know. People know he's not been too serious about public health measures for the coronavirus. So now it's going back to him. And so I think, you know, he's thinking fast, and I think this doesn't help him.
Do you think the fact that, you know, he made all those suggestions about the bleach and medication, you think that's all going to come back to bite him in the butt now?
You know, with people who haven't figured out, he doesn't know what the hell he's talking about, you know, people call it a cult. And, you know, I don't know if some of those people are ever going to realize he'd been a con artist all along.
Uh-huh.
You know, they just sort of have blind faith that he's the man that's going to fix things for him.
So do you think, you know, the fact that he's going to be out of commission for the next few weeks, that's going to more or less help Biden, wouldn't you say?
I would think so. I mean, if he gets really sick, he won't even be able to tweet. But if he it depends on how it affects him, you know.
Right.
He's always got that damn phone to tweet with. So, you know, he can communicate. He's the president, and the media just loves to hang on his every word. Not because it's profound, but because it's like a car wreck. Everybody's got a rubberneck to see what happened.
So what do you think this is? This will impact the Supreme Court justice nominee.
So, McConnell's not skip a beat. He's going to ram it through. And I don't see the Democrats having a... I don't think they have a plan to resist. You know, if I was there, I would advocate impeaching Trump and Barr for many things, but most immediately trying to rig the election by undermining the ability for people to cast mail-in ballots in a pandemic. You know, they're talking about how it's fraudulent, which is nonsense, and they've tried to undermine the Postal Service so they can't be delivered on time. And impeachment takes precedent on the agenda of the Senate, so while they're having impeachment, they can't deal with the Supreme Court nomination. And the Democrats can make that, drag that out by procedural things. Like every time they call for unanimous consent on procedural things, call for a roll call vote. And just do everything they can to slow it down. Because it's not legitimate, you know, to... Republicans stole one nomination with the Merrick Garland case, and now totally undermining the reasons they gave then, saying they won an election first. Now they're trying to ram this through when the election's already started.
So, given the fact that the nominee was in close proximity to many people in government, and you think this is going to stall the nomination process at all?
I don't think his being COVID is going to stop the Senate. You know,
okay.
Maybe some more people over there will get infected or have been exposed, but that's not going to stop McConnell. It's his whole purpose in life. To get conservative, right-wing justices and judges on the federal bench.
So it's going to be interesting to see how this plays out over the next few weeks and what impact this is going to have on the election. But you and I had planned on talking about party suppression. So what's your views on party suppression?
Well, it's bad. It's authoritarian. And the Green Party can tell you it has experienced it at the hands of the Democratic Party. So, like in Wisconsin, we collected 3 times the number of signatures we need to get on the ballot. And our vice presidential candidate moved during the petition period, notified the election commission. And so some of the early petitions had her prior address, and the later petitions had her later address, like the Wisconsin Election Commission instructed us to do. They also wanted an affidavit saying, you know, notarized, signed, saying where she lived now, which was filed with the petition. That was her declaration of candidacy.
Mm-hmm.
So the Democrats objected, saying the signatures on a, you know, collected at her prior address on the, you know, on a petition were invalid. And so there was a hearing, and a Democrat had the gavel. There were 3 Democrats, 3 Republicans on the commission. And we didn't get to present our documentation. They broke the law right there. So they had a 3-3 vote to put us on the ballot, failed. 3-3 vote to knock us off the ballot, failed. Now, the presumption in the law would be they were on the ballot because they couldn't decide to knock us off. But that was ignored. So we took them to court. And Wisconsin Supreme Court sat on it for 10 days. And then 2 days before the deadline to mail the absentee ballots out, they said we were too late. They had all the information they needed for 10 days. And, you know, they started asking the election districts for information, like had they mailed out absentee ballots already. And the first news reports were that the Democrats encouraged was, yeah, they'd mailed out a whole lot of ballots. That was not true. They hadn't even printed the ballots except in a couple jurisdictions. All they'd done is put labels on envelopes for people that requested mail-in ballots. So court said we were too late. The dissent said, by the facts and the law, we should have been on the ballot. And by the way, the Wisconsin Election Commission broke the law in the way they dealt with our case. So the Democrats think they're smart. You know, they think in Wisconsin now, people would have voted for us would vote for Biden. But people that would have voted for us are mad as hell, particularly the 67,000 people that voted for my running mate, Angela Walker, when she ran for sheriff of Milwaukee back in 2014.
Mm-hmm.
She's a native daughter of black Milwaukee, and she ran against the crazy sheriff, David Clark. People seen him. He's the black guy with a cowboy hat whose slogan was, don't call 911, get a gun.
Wow.
So, 67,000. How do you think those people feel? That, you know, somebody they had voted for was thrown off the ballot by the Democrats. You know, I don't think the Democrats are going to count on them voting for Biden. And then down ballot, you know, Greens aren't running for every race. In fact, most races it's Democrat versus Republican. Greens bring new voters to the polls. We know 61% of our voters for Jill Stein in 2016 would have stayed home if she hadn't been on the ballot. That's according to the exit polls. So we bring new voters out, and when they go down ballot, they're more likely to vote for a Democrat than a Republican. So by knocking us off the ballot, the Democrats are probably hurting their down ballot candidates as well. Let me just add this. The real reason why Republican losers get elected president is, first of all, black voter suppression. You know, not putting up polling places in the black community, purging the rolls, et cetera. Photo ID, that's a problem in Wisconsin. And then the Electoral College. The popular vote loser gets elected president because of the Electoral College. That happened to George W. Bush. It happened to Donald Trump. So we've been giving the Democrats the proven nonpartisan solution to that. Replace the Electoral College with a national popular vote using ranked choice voting. National popular vote solves the Electoral College problem. Ranked choice voting solves the spoiler problem. So people can vote for their first choice without worrying about helping their worst enemy. So you just rank your choices, 1, 2, 3. You vote for, if you're a progressive, you vote for Hawkins first, Biden second, and then Trump is third. And if nobody gets a majority in the first round, you eliminate the last place candidate, assume it's me, and most of my second choices will be Biden. So they'd be transferred to Biden, and, you know, Biden would get the majority. That way you don't have a spoiler problem. And the Democrats could solve these problems by getting behind that reform. Instead, they spend their time trying to knock the Green Party off the ballot. It's not only repressive, it's stupid. You know, from their own point of view, it's stupid. They're hurting themselves.
During the debate the other day, when Biden was talking about the Green New Deal and stuff, and he said that he doesn't support it, so do you think that that's going to turn a lot of Democrats off, that they'll stay home? Do you think you've picked up those Democrats? How do you feel about that, the fact that he belittled the Green New Deal?
Well, if people didn't know that, they haven't been paying attention. So that got clarified. It's one of the few things we got clarified in that god-awful debate. No, I think a lot of people came to us because just they were two miserable people. You know, Trump was the worst, but Biden didn't handle himself so well. And then Biden didn't give people a reason to vote for him. The question, why are you running? Why should you vote for me? I forget how Chris Wallace put it exactly. Okay, so Trump lied about a bunch of achievements that he hadn't really done. And then Biden got his turn, and he just said what was wrong with Trump. He didn't tell people what he was going to do. And I know from running a lot of campaigns, when you talk to people, they don't want to know what's wrong with the other person. They want to know what you're going to do. You know, why are you different? You know, what do you want to do? And Biden, you know, he didn't really give that. He's not for Medicare for all. He's not for the Green New Deal. You know, he's got a Biden climate plan and a Biden health care plan. But, you know, he assumes people know what he's talking about. So he didn't explain it or lay much out. And, you know, when you do look at the details, it's pretty pathetic, you know, in terms of what it'll do for the climate or what it'll do for people's access and the cost of their health care.
So there's problems in New York State, too, with party suppression, right?
Yeah. Here they didn't knock us off the ballot because we already had one. They passed a law making it 3 times harder to stay on the ballot. So instead of 50,000 votes for governor every 4 years, it's 50,000 votes every 2 years for governor or president. So we just qualified with over 100,000 votes 2 years ago. So Cuomo got a law passed under the cover of the COVID pandemic, attached to the budget, saying we're going to have to get 130,000 votes or 2%, whichever is greater. In a presidential year, it's going to be 2%, upwards of 170,000 votes, which the Green Party's only got twice, when Ralph Nader ran in 2000 and when I was running for governor in 2014. So we got a real challenge ahead of us. Now, hopefully progressives will say we want to keep the Green Party. Biden is ahead by 31% in the latest poll in New York State. He's been ahead by 25% or more all year since he became the presumptive nominee. So Trump is toast in New York. The question of people that who are progressives, do they want to vote for Biden, who's not for a Green New Deal, not for Medicare for All, or do they want to vote for the Green ticket, which is for a Green New Deal, Medicare for All, you know, and let the politicians know what you want. So that's what we face. And if we lose the ballot line, we're going to have to get 45,000 good signatures in 6 weeks in late summer of 2022 to run our statewide candidates. So it's a plan designed to kill third parties. And, you know, Cuomo and Jacobs, the executive director of the Democratic Party, said, well, you know, there's more people now, so we need to raise the standard. 50,000 has been around since the 30s. But, you know, in 1936, 4.5 million people voted in the presidential election. In 2016, 4.5 million people voted in the presidential election in New York. But they tripled the number of votes we need to keep the ballot line. So, you know, as usual, they say a bunch of nonsense to justify a measure designed to kill third parties, and that's repression. That's not what democracy looks like.
So what are the states between Wisconsin and New York are engaging in party suppression right now?
What other states are, you ask?
Yes.
Okay. Well, Pennsylvania, and there it's because one of our favorite daughters that was a stand-in on a petition mailed in her form instead of attaching it and personally presenting it with the petition that was filed. In Pennsylvania, we got double the signatures we needed. So really trivial objection. And from the first time we were in court to the Pennsylvania Supreme Court, the vote on our status was strictly partisan. Like all of this, you got partisan hacks in the election boards, in the courts. Democrats vote to knock us off. Republicans vote to knock us on or keep us on. So that's what happened in Pennsylvania. In Montana, we had 2.5 times the number of signatures. We had primaries and, had candidates. And then the Democrats went to one of the House districts because the petition there has to have a distribution of at least a minimum number from every House district or a certain number of House districts. So they went there and they started harassing people that signed the petition. The Democrats did. They knock on their door, they email them, they phone them, tell them they got to withdraw because the Greens are really, Republicans. A lot of people didn't believe that, but they just wanted the harassment to stop. So their petition signature was an affidavit. You know, they sign it with a witness. They withdrew their signatures by email to the Secretary of State. And so that was questionable. And so this went through the courts. And again, it was strictly partisan. And in the end, the Montana Supreme Court knocked us off the ballot. After we'd had a primary, after they'd certified we were on the ballot. It's just it's the kind of thing you'd expect Putin to do in the Moscow city elections. You know, if you followed that last year, they, you know, all the challengers to Putin's machine got knocked off the ballot for violating their, you know, petition requirements. I think the Russians learned it from us. So then in Texas, both the Greens and Libertarians objected to very high filing fees, which they considered like poll taxes for our down ballot candidates. And that one we won. You know, the court said, yeah, this is unconstitutional. You're on the ballot.
Okay.
We're in court in Oklahoma, Indiana, Nevada, over various things. Oklahoma, they have a $35,000 filing fee to be on the ballot. So, there's all kinds of things. I mean, this country is off the charts compared to other elected democracies to get on the ballot. You want to run as an independent for Congress in this country, it's thousands of signatures or tens of thousands, depending on the state. You want to run as an independent for the House of Commons in the UK, it's 10 signatures. Uh-huh. For Parliament in New Zealand, it's 2 signatures. For the Parliament in Canada, it's 100 signatures. Here, it's thousands or tens of thousands. And then people wonder why we don't have more third-party candidates running for Congress. Well, it's hard as hell to get on the ballot.
Right, right. Now, do you think that the states discuss among themselves, the officials in the states discuss among themselves how they're going to keep third-party candidates off the ballot?
Well, I think it's by party. So the Democratic, various officers, varies from state. Sometimes Secretary of State, sometimes it's Lieutenant Governor, sometimes there's an election commission. But, yeah, I mean, we know, we have lots of evidence from 2004 that Democrats across the country and probably illegally doing it as part of their national convention in I guess it was in Boston that year, figured out how they're going to try to keep Ralph Nader off the ballot. And they sued his access to the ballot against his access to the ballot 52 times, and, you know, all over the country. And most of these lawsuits were totally frivolous, raising objections that were not true. Like in Pennsylvania, you know, where we got knocked off for filing by mail instead of in person, they also objected to our signatures. So we had to spend a month documenting that these people were qualified voters. That cost a lot of money because we had to, you know, pay a lawyer to supervise the thing and pay, you know, enough people to get the job done. We're talking about thousands mm-hmm. of signatures. So, you know, between the lawyer's fees for the whole case and that signature documentation thing, it cost us, you know, $20,000 or $30,000. And once we had documented these signatures, the Democrats said, okay, we're dropping that objection. They knew from the beginning that those signatures were good. They just wanted to, you know, drain us, you know, of time and money. So they did that to Nader 52 times in 2004. It, you know, there's never been an assault on ballot access stronger than that one by the Democratic Party. You know, what they did to us this year was a fraction of what they did to Nader in 2004. But what they did to us, you know, hurt. You know, we lost ballot status in 3 states where we qualified. We're really qualified.
So Ralph Nader ran for president in 2004.
Yeah.
So what was his percentage in 2000?
In 2000, it was 2.7%.
Okay. In 2004?
It was much reduced. That was, you know, anybody but Bush was a strong sentiment, like this year, anybody but Trump. I don't have that number in my head, but
okay.
It was much reduced.
So what's in store for the next 5 weeks for you, Howie?
Well, the next 4 weeks, we're doing a lot of phone banking, trying to get our vote out. And I was outside the debate in Cleveland, available to the media. I got some, like the Cleveland Plain Dealer, but not the network news or the cable news. But I will be in Miami at the next debate and in Nashville at the next debate. I'm going to New Jersey and D.C. this weekend and going out to Denver for a third-party debate. There's talk about another debate between me and the Libertarian candidate who, like the Green Party, is on enough ballots to get, you know, to win the Electoral College. So that, you know, we'll try to offer something more constructive than we saw this week with Trump and Biden. And so that, you know, you said 5 weeks. Well, when we get up to the election, we're going to focus on election protection, no intimidation, make sure there are enough polling places. You know, our people will be out there just observing and making sure everything's on the up and up. And after that, the 5th week, we're going to make sure the mail-ins are counted. Because that's what, you know, Trump is and Barr are trying to do to delegitimize and stop the election like they did in Florida, but on a much bigger scale. Florida in 2000, you know. Bush and then got in there because the Supreme Court said, stop counting, he's president. And we can't have that happen. So the Green Party has standing, you know, or our campaign has standing in 30 states on the ballot. In most of the other states, it's official write-ins. So if we see election meddling, or ballots not being counted or any kind of that kind of nonsense, we have legal standing to go to court and try to get that corrected, like we did in Ohio in 2004 and like we did in Michigan, Wisconsin, and Pennsylvania in 2016. And so we're prepared to do that, make sure the election is, you know, the real winner wins, which I expect to be Biden. I mean, the polls, Trump is, he's been down substantially, you know, 7, 8, 10 points nationally. The battleground states have moved. He's down by, you know, 6, 8, 10 in, you know, Michigan, Minnesota, Pennsylvania, and battleground to move to old Republican states like Georgia and Texas and Arizona and Iowa. So you look at real clear politics where they, you know, take current polls and put them on a map. It's a landslide for Biden, you know, 353 to 185 electoral votes.
Wow.
Last one I saw. So the only way Trump can pull this out is by stealing it. So, you know, from November 3rd until the votes counted and certified, we're going to be out there making sure that the count doesn't stop with all those paper ballots coming in. And we'll go to court if we have to enforce that.
Now, in the event that Trump can't pull off a victory on Election Day or the day afterwards, he said he's going to disrupt the system. Do you think he'll disrupt the system substantially enough to undermine the Constitution?
No, he might try, but, you know, he's got a ragtag, you know, bands of white vigilantes. And I've been talking with people I know. I'm former Marine, talking to military people, people in my American Legion post, some of whom have ties or friends who went from the military to Secret Service or FBI. Trump is not going to get away with that kind of stuff from the, you know, FBI, Secret Service, or the military. He might get some crazy police here and there who have, you know, thrown in with white supremacists, but they don't have the troops to pull it off. That's what I hear. And in fact, a lot of these military people would love nothing more than to just take out these, you know, crazy, you know, people like the Proud Boys if they tried to start anything. So the danger is these vigilantes could harm a lot of people, but they can't keep Trump in the presidency if he loses the election.
So we only have a couple of seconds left, Howie. Give your contact information. So if anybody wants to volunteer for your campaign, how could they do so?
Well, go to the website howiehawkins.us, and there you'll find how to donate, how to volunteer, more information about our policies. And if people went there between the election and yesterday, it was down. We crashed when the debate started. You know, we got overwhelmed with people. People were looking at the debate and they started looking for their alternatives. And so, you know, we've moved the server. And we're not sure what all happened, but we do know we were getting hit with lots of people and then had to move. So, or it crashed. So we got that fixed. So if you try it in the last couple of days, it's back up. HowieHawkins.us.
Okay, Howie. Thank you so much. I'm sure we'll talk again before Election Day. So you have been listening to Green Party presidential candidate Howie Hawkins. I'm Cynthia Pooler. This is All Exits Closed. If you like this show, follow us on Twitter. Thanks, Howie. Thank you, everybody, for listening. Have a great day.